She won. She didn't win big, but she won comfortably enough, became Prime Minister. And we can move on to trying to assess how she transformed Britain. A lot is the short answer to that. She was riding with a popular tide in that she was able to exploit the unpopularity of the trade union movement. She was also able to argue with more than superficial plausibility that the economic consensus, which had held good in British political life for more than 30 years, the idea that governments should control the economy, governments should spend money in order to keep unemployment down, and that government should be in a central position in terms of economic policy. It should be interventionist. And the state, and this is the thing that goes with it, the state was broadly seen as an agency for good rather than ill. The massive unpopularity of the trade union movement, the problems that Britain had had with inflation in the 1970s, was helping Thatcher to argue that a radical response was now required. It would not do just to carry on muddling along and printing banknotes when the deficit was getting too high. We needed a monetarist policy. We needed to ensure that the Bank of England had enough money to pay back its debt, and we needed a credit squeeze. We needed a massive reduction in the amount of money spent on government. What Thatcher is trying to do is to return the economy to equilibrium. She is trying to ensure that government is efficient, but also that the industries on which Britain depends are themselves inefficient. She believed that too many industries had been too inefficient for too long, and that the governing consensus before 1979, that the state was an agency for good and it should be helping to smooth out problems in the economy, was producing one huge problem, and many smaller ones, and the huge problem was rampant inflation. So she was arguing for a radical prescription. And she began by massively increasing value-added tax, the rate at which value-added tax was collected, therefore increasing the burden of indirect taxation, while moving towards reduction in the direct rate of taxation. Why does this matter? Well, the less money you have, the more an indirect tax, if you can afford to pay the item, is going to cost you. If you can afford to pay for the item and hardly notice it, then indirect taxes, I suppose you might think, are for you. But what Thatcher was trying to do was more than jiggle about with the tax system. She was trying to rebuild the economy on the principles of liberal economics as they had been practiced more than a century before, in the time of Gladstone and the liberal hegemony of the 1850s and 1860s. The consequences were very substantial. If government was no longer going to prop up industries which were not competitive in world markets, then what happened to those industries? And more than that, what happened to those regions or areas in which those industries were situated? The centre of Thatcher's target was the coal industry. She didn't believe the coal industry had a major future in Britain anyway, but she was particularly incensed that the coal industry was strongly unionised, and she was able to focus her attention on an inefficient industry which was being held to ransom by an unpopular trade union movement. That, oversimplifying, is the background to one of the bitterest labour struggles of the whole of the 20th century, the miners' strike, which was held in 1984 and dribbled on into 1985. I haven't got time to go into huge detail here. I'm just using this as one example of the way in which Thatcher was trying to rebuild the economy of Britain by making those industries stand on their own two feet, and if they couldn't, to vary the metaphor, then she was perfectly happy to see them massively reduced or, in fact, go to the wall.